This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you listening. As always, we're going to have one of our special guests. She's always a regular on Fed Access and always one of our favorites, Linda Ricks. She is co-CEO of Aview Technologies, and we're here to talk about a number of different issues, a number of things that affect veterans, but also affect contractors of the government, and also affect in terms of dynamic of if you're an employee of the federal government, disciplinary action, and maybe about how HR managers are looking at your performance and everything else, and maybe some new applications that are out there that will help maybe guide your performance or guide certain things and help you improve if you're a government worker, or if you're that government worker who's not improving, it may also help you in the process on the way out the door, because we only need positive federal workers anyway. So Linda, welcome to Fed Access as usual.
Thank you for coming back.
Yeah. You brought something interesting to the table, and we were talking about it. Your company has been working with the wildland firefighters for quite some time, mm-hmm. and working on that issue for quite some time. Mm-hmm. You know, recently we lost the 19 wildland firefighters who were killed, unfortunately, and we definitely have our sympathies to the family and everyone else. But, you know, with all of that, some news was coming out about them not having benefits. I mean, them, you know, in terms of the wildland firefighters, you've been dealing with that in terms of getting people hired.
Right.
But what are the issues that we're dealing with that?
Yeah, I thought this was actually really interesting after the loss of the 19 Grand Mountain Hotshot crew firefighters. The real issue started to come out, and it's something I've actually watched for a number of years mm-hmm. now, and it started back in the day when I worked at OPM.
Sure.
It started with people who were hired as seasonal employees. Mm-hmm. They were hired every year.
Right. And that's one of those jobs, those hot shots and those firefighters.
Exactly.
They're all seasonal. They don't stay around for, they got, 6 months?
They're 6 to 9 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fires are getting hotter and lasting longer, so it's a little bit longer. But, you know, basically what happens is they end up with 10, 20 seasons under their belt mm-hmm. and no retirement.
Because they're not, benefits. I mean, since they're seasonal, they're not considered civil service, or they're not considered, I mean,
part of the standard retirement and benefits program, right?
Okay.
Only permanents really are.
Right.
So what, what I thought was kind of astonishing was, here's this bill that was introduced, let me look here, it was introduced July 30th mm-hmm. of 2013 mm-hmm. by Representative Diana DeJet, who is in Denver, Colorado, mm-hmm. and she introduces it. It's H.R. 2858, the Wildland Firefighters Protection Act, which allows for money that's been set aside to fight fires to be utilized to help bring temporary and seasonal workers into a new job classification that is just wildland fire and into the retirement system for coverage. It provides for a pilot program to start with and then looking at it and evaluating it for permanent conversion. But I found it really interesting because it addresses the issue that many people may have not realized, which is the people who fight these fires and protect our homes and protect the federal land that we enjoy in the parks and all of these other locations, are people who don't get benefits. And when we lose them, like we did with the Granite Mountain hotshots, their families don't get survivor benefits. And these are young families, a lot of them. With
multiple kids many times. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the wives of one of the firefighters just recently gave birth to their third child.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things where you think that's, on the face of it, it's just not right. And it could be fixed and it could be addressed, and it should be.
Right.
So this is a way for the families to get survivor annuities and continue to have some financial stability. And for the individual firefighters who spend year after year in the service of our country of a different kind than we usually think about relative to military, you know, an ability to retire and have an annuity and have assurances that their own health and, you know, long-term welfare will be taken care of. So I just thought it was very interesting that she did it. She has introduced it. The bill has no co-sponsors, but there are three petitions that you can sign if you want to support it. One's on moveon.org, one's on change.org, and the third one is on whitehouse.gov.
Okay.
And so I would encourage your listeners, because I think this is the right thing to do, and it's really important to do it, to go out and sign these petitions and get some attention around the bill, and let's help it, you know, make it through the process here, because I think it's really crucial that it be done.
You know, as we've just kind of, not celebrated, but honored the 9/11.
Yes.
And we think about the firefighters and everyone else. And you know, we lost so many there. We've seen other firefighters lose their lives. And actually, you know, firefighters, I know some firefighters, and they talk about how many of them kind of die afterwards because they're in these hot environments, they're, you know, fumes and all kind of stuff get into their system, and they could, you know, very well have a heart attack after the fire. I mean, so it's not just, you know, the dangers of being in the fire, but I mean, you know, going into the environment that you're exposed to so many different things, and your body is, you know, dealing with a really unnatural environment that you're, you know, that you have to go into, and dangerous environment. It seems that we need to have you know, some more benefits. Like you said, I mean, these people, it may not necessarily be military, sir, but their service is just as important, you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, as we see these fires, they're burning thousands and thousands of acres, homes, and, and everything else. People are getting killed. I think this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I really want to encourage your listeners to go out and support it, because it's one of those things where after the fires are over and people,
we forget,
you know, reestablish themselves or whatever, we forget.
That's right.
And these folks go every year, and it is one of those things where it's getting hotter and they're burning longer, and it's really dangerous. And you're right, you inhale all kinds of things in that environment, and you're bound to have health problems.
Are you seeing with your you know, with the application and the site that you have, and it's Wildfire X, right?
Wildfire X,
and with Wildfire X and people, are you still seeing a steady number of people who are interested?
Yes.
In wildland firefighting, I mean, is that still something that people are saying, I want to get into?
Sure. In fact, it's one of those areas where there's never a lack of. You know, when you are kind of predisposed to do that kind of work, you're really passionate about it.
Right.
And we have two things. We have wildfirex.com, which is for wildland firefighters, and to match them up to employers. But also, it's a great site. It's got a great interactive map. You can see wind direction. You can see where the fires are, how big they are. It's updated real time with the fire stats. So that's very cool. There's a section there. We have bloggers. We have some folks that blog for us that are wildland firefighters, and then Tracy Ann, who's a fire wife. She blogs from the perspective of the spouse. And
so it's really a kind of a wildfire community.
It is. It's really been really fun to watch the engagement, and we are pulling traffic over from our Facebook page, which is also Wildfire X on Facebook, and that's where a lot of the real-time updates on fire conditions and situations occur. And we were really surprised. We had a couple of the highest viewed blogs were around the Granite Mountain hotshot, the latest, the Rim Fire, of course. Tracy Ann's perspective, from a spouse's perspective of the 19 Granite Mountain hotshot crew members, and what her personal story about watching that on the news, really captivating. And then we also had quite a bit around what are called shake and bakes.
What's that? And what's shake and bake?
A shake and bake is a temporary shelter when you're trapped.
Oh, yeah, with the aluminum shake and bake. Right.
They call them shake and bakes for a reason. So, and that got a lot of attention, too, about whether or not that was really effective tool.
To save your life.
How to use it and all that. That got a lot of attention also because there is a lot of issue around, can we get safety increased and how do we do that and that kind of thing.
Right.
So it's just been a lot of fun. I just can't describe how, you know, exciting it is to
create
something like that. Yeah.
And you know, it seems to me that because that you know, wildland firefighting is an old trade, and it's a trade that a lot of people don't necessarily know about, that you go in and you're not using water, so to say. I mean, you're cutting basically a path. Cutting, you know, shrubbery. Yeah, you're cutting it, and then you're basically making it so that the fire will die out at a certain point where it has nothing else to burn, you know. So I mean, these guys are working and they're jumping but kind of behind enemy lines sometimes, or you know, moving around these different lines and trying to cut this fire and stop it.
Yes,
you know. And a lot of people don't necessarily understand that, and I don't necessarily know if the research goes into it to say, how do we protect these guys,
right? And the other part is there's a lot of controversy about tanker support, whether there are enough tankers, the age of the tanker fleets, all of this other
stuff.
That's
true.
There's a
I think we've had some tanker crashes over the past several years.
Yes.
Yeah.
And well, these are like 1940s aircraft. I mean, it's really ridiculous. But I guess you can keep a plane going forever.
Right.
I don't know. I have a car with 120,000 miles on it.
Exactly. Right.
But yeah, and so one video that was really dramatic. I think this could be the Top Gun of firefighter tanker traffic. But they created a video from inside the cockpit.
Oh wow.
And it was going in and dropping retardant along a strip of land, and right up next to where the fire was burning. It is a spectacular video. It's we linked to it from the Facebook page as well, but it's just, I mean, people everywhere have seen it, and you know, whether you're interested in that or lived in the area or not, it's just exciting.
Right.
It's good footage.
You know, I mean, with all of that, and we got to take a quick break, but when I come back, I want to keep on talking about that because, I mean, wildfire stuff, and I think a lot of people, I mean, even me, I thought about being a wildfire firefighter. Yeah. It seemed like it's a cool job, you know, but and it's an important job. But, you know, we want to make sure that those, you know, members are honored. And I really do think that there has to be a movement to honor all of those who put their lives,
you bet,
you know, on the line, you know, and that we don't think about. Like you said, a wildfire, sometimes, especially in D.C., we're so far removed from those kind of environments. Mm-hmm. We see it on the news, but we're not necessarily impacted. But that stuff is real and everything else. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's one of our favorite guests on Fed Access, always bringing important issues to the table. Her company, A-View Technologies, they're doing some stuff with the wildfires. Wildfire X, you can find it on Facebook. Is it WildfireX.com?
WildfireX.com is the website.
Okay.
And then
we're
WildfireX on Facebook.
Got it. Yeah. WildfireX on Facebook and wildfires.com. Is
WildfireX.com.
That right? WildfireX.com. I just want to make sure I got it.
Yep.
So WildfireX.com is the site that you can find if you're a person who's interested in being wildland firefighter.
Yep.
You need to go there. But if you're also a firefighter, good place to go. There's a good community being built there right now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a number of other issues. What's going on with the government contract community? Some new regulations that are coming out with government contractors that we need to talk about. And then also some things in terms of employee performance, employee discipline that we're going to talk about today on FedEx as well. You're listening to FedEx with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking about a number of different issues. We've got one of our favorite guests on in the studio with us, Linda Rick. She is co-CEO of A-View Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com. They run WildfireX.com. They run a number of different sites for the federal government that helps people in terms of finding federal jobs. But their main thing is that application process, that they help the application process along. So when you're applying for these federal jobs, they help the agencies be able to process the number of people who are trying to get the job, look at their credentials the right way, be able to assess are they qualified, and then move them along the process very, very quickly. And that's one of the key things they do, as well as building apps and everything else. You can find them on aviewtech.com, but you can also find their job site for federal government at aviewcentral.com. And again, if you're interested in wildfire, wildfirex.com is another good site to go to. Linda, you know, we were talking about these wildfire firefighters and everything else. professional. As you mentioned, there is no lack of people who are trying to get into this business.
Right.
Are we seeing an increase in terms of the agencies who are hiring? And is it more federal? Is it state? Or I know you mentioned at one point in time mm-hmm. that the private sector is hiring a lot more land firefighters. What are we seeing in terms of the market?
The market is definitely leaning toward private companies.
Okay.
When we
talk about private companies, I mean, mm-hmm. insurance? Who is he? Who are these private companies?
These are companies that actually fight fires and do fuels management on private lands. Fuels management is getting rid of the dead wood that provides fuel for fires. And what these companies are doing is they're growing at a rate of about 15% a year in terms of size, where the federal government is actually declining in the number of wildland firefighters they're hiring. So you have an offset, basically. And then you've got state, local governments that are also hiring, although, as I understand it, that's challenging because of the budget issues. State and local government are much more severe than they are in the federal government. So the private sector is tending to pick up a lot of the balance. Also, you see a lot of states call out the National Guard or the Reserve to help fight fires as well. So vets are getting good experience on the fire line that can translate into private sector employment.
See a good number of vets who try to get into this business of wildland firefighting?
There are a lot, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And part of it is it's really conducive to their training.
Sure. It's a very operational environment.
It's very operational. It's very mm-hmm. command and control. Mm-hmm. There's an incident commander mm-hmm. that, you know, sits on the shoulder of God
right.
as far as
yeah, right.
people are concerned.
Right.
And, you know,
right. sure.
this is the person yeah. everybody snaps to and salutes.
Right.
And so the fire community, I think, is really expanding and really increasingly more diverse. Now, insurance companies are often companies that will want private homeowners to have a fire insurance policy that deals with their property, not just their home.
Okay.
So if they are living in an area like, you know, when the Santa Ana winds blow mm-hmm. in Southern California, every year the fires start up. These are very expensive homes in Malibu.
Right. Yeah.
And so the companies basically come in and do a form of fuels management around these homes.
So we're seeing kind of a new movement,
where
we have flood insurance. Now we're kind of also seeing this. Of course, there's always been fire insurance, but almost a fire prevention type.
Correct.
Insurance.
Yes.
Okay.
And the nice thing about that is it is, you know, I think it's just in lockstep with these fires are just a huge, huge issue mm-hmm. directly impacting mm-hmm. Many, many, many homeowners. So naturally, the fire insurance industry is going to get behind a proper fuels management preparedness program, which is good.
They don't want to lose $2 million homes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, sure.
And then you've got, you've got the private companies being able to bring the people in to do that kind of work. So I encourage people who want to get into that career and are really passionate about it, mm-hmm. And it takes that mm-hmm. To do the job really well. I would encourage
Is this
folks
becoming
to go
more
private.
Of a permanent career rather than seasonal, you think? I mean, as we're seeing
yes.
these, you know, and you're talking about the prevention type dynamic now, mm-hmm. where at first it was very reactive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're talking about prevention, then that could go a year-round thing of kind of looking at the environment, kind of saying, listen,
right.
we need to treat the land in order so this does not become a place that the fire will come up on.
Exactly. And fuels management is that. It is a year-round activity. But fire season, you know, starts in March now, usually Arizona, New Mexico, Florida. And then gets hotter and mm-hmm. moves out west and, mm-hmm. you know, closes out sometime October, November, depending on how long we decide to stay, you know, hot and dry weather-wise.
Right.
But, you know, so it is a year-round activity. It's a great, it's a great sort of occupation to be in when you want to have a strong sense of camaraderie, when you want to have the kind of interdependency mm-hmm. that teams that are really high performing have.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing where your accomplishments are, you know, clear.
Yeah, very clear. Very, very clear.
That.
Right, exactly. You know, is this an occupation that we're seeing salaries that are lower, higher? I mean, you know, what are we seeing? Because, you know, I mean, a lot of times, and especially some of the most service-oriented, you know, mm-hmm. people put their lives on the line type jobs have never been known. And of course, yes, a lot of people don't do it for the money. You know, they do it for the passion of the business. But of course, are we starting to see, as it becomes more important,
yeah,
are we seeing salaries kind of rise up in that industry a little bit, maybe? Or,
not,
or how are we seeing? Not really.
Not really. Not okay. At the pace it should.
Okay.
One of the things that there's a someone who blogs that has the handle of, I'm a wildland firefighter, I'm not a forestry technician.
Mm-hmm.
In the federal government, forestry technicians that fight fires are grade 4, grade 5.
Mm.
So these are
fairly low
grades.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why the Wildland Firefighter Protection Act is asking that OPM create a specific occupational series for wildland firefighters and get them out of the forestry technician series and move them
into... That's a wage type thing. That's kind of like hourly type wages scenario.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And granted, a lot of the work is like that. I mean, you go out and you dig a fire line, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, fuels management is the most sophisticated skill there is in firefighting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you,
it becomes
if you,
almost science.
Exactly.
I mean, the science of firefighting.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so... as that kind of develops and grows, one could see a career path that could be, you know, pretty nice in terms of salary and whatnot. And then if you can get the benefits in there as well, it's really worth it.
It sounds as if you know, in terms of both salaries, not only for the people who are on the front line, but now also creating this whole new kind of occupation that's very preventative. You know, so that can hopefully maybe stop some of these major wildfires. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, of course, a lot of it's, you know, people making mistakes and or, you know, sometimes on purpose by doing these things. But if you build out certain preventative measures, you may be able to save people's lives and save investments that have been put into these certain areas. And, you know, I mean, it impacts everybody. So it sounds as if there's a lot that needs to be done.
Yes.
You know, I mean, do you think the traction is starting to get there as we see more and more? I mean, will there be lobbying from insurance companies to maybe put this through? I mean, do you think that there's going to be some backing from other areas?
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy. Right now, there's the FLAME Act, which has to do with wildfire prevention through fuels management.
Mm-hmm.
And the FLAME Act actually stated that, you know, X amount of the budget of agriculture and interior would go to fuels management. But that has routinely been undercut. The budget, not the trees. And what has happened is that's become really controversial. Who's doing the fuels management? Because that's why the fires burn so hot. So I think what we'll probably see is if the federal government cannot figure this out, then private industry will step in. Because a lot of private forest land is borders on federal land. A lot of state land, forest land, borders on federal land.
So we need more public-private partnerships in dealing with this kind of stuff. And I've heard the controversy between the private firefighters and those who are kind of state or federal. You know, are they working together? Who's under whose command and control? You know, I mean, so it sounds as if there needs to be a little bit more of maybe a task force or people kind of working together on this thing.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that.
We got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to go into this this new kind of regulation that's talking about government contractors and it impacting veterans. It seemed like it could be a positive thing. I know there may be some pushback, but let's talk about it on Fed Access. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She is the co-CEO of Aview Technologies. You can find them at aviewtech.com. But they run Aview Central, which is a federal job site, and you can find it at aviewcentral.com. But if you're interested in becoming a wildland firefighter, which is a very, very exciting but very, very necessary, critical job that's out there protecting homes and people and land and everything else out in these areas where these wildfires start going crazy, you can find their site at
Wildfirex.com.
I got to make sure I got it right. Wildfirex.com. So you can check that out. But if you're a firefighter, you may want to check it out because it's a great community as well. We're talking about a number of different issues. When we come back, we'll be talking about some contracting issues, some regulations that can affect government contractors across the board. We're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're having an interesting conversation. First off, we've been talking about wildfire. We've been talking about wildland firefighters, a very, very important occupation. But we're talking to Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They do a number of different things with the federal government in terms of having contracts with different agencies to run their human capital systems. When people apply, you know, some of the systems that you go through in order that your application will go through, and these federal HR managers can check you off and see if you're qualified and everything else. They do that kind of work, as well as a number of different apps that help the federal government, state governments, and city governments, and everyone else. But they run a great application, a great site called Wildfire X. And so check it out if you're interested in wildfire and everything else. They also run Aview Technologies. They run Aview Central, which is part of Aview Technologies, and it's aviewcentral.com. Linda, you know, we were talking about government contracting, and we've been talking about the dynamics. Everybody's concerned about government contracting in terms of the sequester, the budget. You know, some government contractors have been hurting. But now this new regulation that's coming now, you know, talk to it. What is this new regulation talking about hiring veterans? What is that thing saying?
It's actually a modification of an existing set of regs, but it's a fairly radical modification that deals with hiring veterans. If you are a contractor or subcontractor to the federal government.
And it doesn't have to be defense. This is across the board.
It's across the board. Okay. It's being managed by the Department of Labor Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs. So OFCCP is actually putting the regs together and pushing them out. And hopefully we'll do some education around that as well. But they're essentially creating a requirement for all federal contractors or subcontractors, regardless of size. Okay, so a lot of times these things are reserved for people that are employing 100 or more, or whatever. Right. So regardless of size, and it requires the same kind of does a couple things. One is it creates a definition of a protected class of veterans. Sets a standard that says you may not discriminate against this class. It sets specific goals and targets around hiring, recruiting, hiring vets, improving your representation in your company, as well as individuals with disabilities. So those are tied together in a new set of regulations coming out. Should be about 180 days when they hit the street.
Okay.
It is a fairly common practice that we've seen before in what would be kind of classic affirmative action programs, where you do a representation determination of where you are, where your company is, what kind of people you hire, what kind of occupations they're in, and compare that to the standard in the nation. And DOL promises to release benchmark statistical data through BLS to kind of help companies understand what those benchmarks are. But it's a pretty interesting move. I think it's one where you really have to pay attention to all of these reporting requirements. You have to pay attention to all the recruiting requirements. You have to capture data before offers are even made for employment. So you've got pre-offer data, post-offer data, and all of that has to be kind of seamless. So,
you know, as I'm thinking about this, so the requirement will be that you have to have a veteran on your staff, or you have to hire a veteran for the most part.
Correct.
And then with all of that, I mean, are you hearing any pushback from any, or are government contractors saying, hey, listen, we already do this, or government contractors saying, listen, we're excited about this, or what are you hearing in the environment?
I have not.
Because you're a government, I mean, you're a government contractor too. I mean, even from your take on it, I mean, how do you feel about that?
I have not heard any real industry, even knowledge about it.
So they don't really, it's quiet. It's a very quiet thing.
Correct. Okay. And I think for a lot of companies, they may not know that there is a requirement already and that there are reporting requirements and so on. We see this a lot with diversity recruitment, for example, that people may have affirmative action plans on file, but they're not used to reporting how they're recruiting, what their outreach is, what the applicant flow looks like. Government agencies are required to report similar data and also to DOL.
Okay.
But this is really different. So, and EEOC. And so what I think I think will be interesting is to see.
Is the government going to be pushing for more compliance on this reporting, you think? I mean, as, especially as this comes out with the veterans, are we going to start seeing that they're going to be looking at contractors, especially as the budgets are getting smaller and, they're, and they're looking at who they're giving money to? Is this going to be something to say, listen, we need your paperwork on, are you complying with the veteran hiring? Are you complying with EEOC practices? You know, I mean, is that going to become more important?
I am seeing an increase in compliance activity where there was none before or very little. And so
the reason for that is what?
I'm not sure if it's really related to the focus of the administration. Maybe it's just more more intense or tighter on these requirements. They've been around for a while. Not this particular issue we're talking about with vets, but they've been, for example, in workforce diversity, they've been around forever. But only recently have I seen actual fines being levied on private employers for not complying, government contractors that are not in compliance with OFCCP rules or EEOC rules. So only recently have I seen any press where it's now, you know, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars for you to continue without complying with the reporting requirements. So this could be, I think, very interesting. I think for small companies, because there is no real size barrier here, for small companies, I think this could be very challenging because the reporting is something you have to kind of
becomes a burden.
Get under you, and get that administratively controlled. So that'll be
Is that something you guys are looking at in terms of an application or something like that?
We're definitely we're and we're I think we talked offline here a little bit about vetshq.com, and a lot of this will go into supporting private employers in VetsHQ. It's just like Wildfire X. It's a community, and we're just bringing it up now. And there's so much to do to support veterans. I mean, there are so many places you can add value. So, but this one is particularly strong to us because we think that it could be very easy and very seamless for employers to be able to comply without having a big, you know, a big cost burden associated with it. So we're hoping to come out with something that helps streamline that.
You know, to a degree, it's exciting. I mean, to a degree. I mean, I know there's some burdens that go along with it, but I mean, to have government contractors now put a focus in on and maybe reduce the number in this veteran unemployment scenario that they say, listen, we do want to bring in, and we are going to, you know, focus in on hiring veterans right away or whatever the case is, or even when we talk about the credentialing of veterans, and you know, now they know, well, there's employers out there, government contractors, and it's not always defense. But you can go, you know, it's not always clearance based, but you can go to someone else who's doing a GSA contract or something like that. And work logistics or something or whatever, into inventory or facilities or whatever the case is. I mean, it seems as if there's some promise to this.
I think there's the emphasis is right to do this because, you know, as you know, we've had a long, longstanding partnership with the American Legion. I think maybe 8 or 9 years now, and have worked with the Economics Commission. Joe Sharp and the folks out there. And we really see the plight here of homelessness. Underemployment is a huge issue. You know, I applaud the passage of the post 9/11 GI Bill. I think that is a powerful way, you know, certainly after the Vietnam War, many, many, many people. You know, we're able to pursue higher ed that would not have otherwise. So these are really important things for us to do socially. And I think as a country, we do them. But the other side of it is, what then, how do we best position employers? Because there are issues when, you know, when you're looking at, and I talked with the VA folks at the Acquisition Academy a bit ago about when you are bringing in individuals and they are going through PTSD, or they are going through intensive physical therapy or other programs like that. What does the employer need to have to make all of that to provide whatever safety nets need to be provided in the employment situation to help that out? So there's a great deal of support that needs to be provided once individuals are hired into private companies, because now they have lost. And as a daughter of a veteran, I can tell you, when you leave that environment, you have lost.
It's a big deal.
Yes, you have lost this whole culture, a common bond, a common set of values, and you've lost this the sense of team and camaraderie, the structure.
Right.
Private sector can, especially in my field in technology, is highly unstructured. So you're moving from a potentially a very structured environment to a highly unstructured environment. Mm-hmm. So what do employers need to be able to do to keep retention strong, as well as ensure people make that transition effectively and do so in a way that contributes to their lifelong success?
Right.
So
we got to take
it's important
a quick,
stuff.
It is very, very important stuff, and it's one of those conversations that we need to continue to have and keep on the forefront, as you mentioned about listeners getting involved. That's where you got to call your congressman or call certain people to let people know, hey, listen, I think this is an important issue. Just like people say, I don't want to go to war in Syria, we need to also say we want to protect our veterans. We want to protect our wildland firefighters. You also have to call about that just as you're calling about not getting involved in certain things overseas.
Right.
When we come back, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about this tool that you have that is maybe helping HR managers begin, working with their employees and helping them with their performance, either helping them get on the right track with their performance or, documenting those who are not on the right track and then, working to push them out of government. This may not be the right career for you. Mm-hmm. If you're on the right track, we've always talked about the difficulty of getting out a person who is not a good government worker and getting them, terminated so that somebody who's the right person can come on in. But maybe we got a solution right here. We're talking to Linda Rick. She is the co-CEO of Aview Technologies. You can find them at aviewtech.com. And you also can find some of their websites, aviewcentral.com and also wildfirex.com. Aview Central is a federal job site. And then WildfireX is for the wildland firefighter community. Either you want to get a job in wildland firefighter or if you're a firefighter, a good place to go check out. They do a number of good things in terms of helping federal agencies out. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're talking about a number of different issues right now. We've talked about everything from wildland firefighting all the way down to government contractors now having to have a requirement to hire veterans that seems to be coming very, very soon. But we want to talk about employees, okay, employee performance. Mm-hmm. And we're talking to Linda Rick. She is co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run a number of different applications for federal government on human capital, hiring management, application processes and everything else. You can find them at aviewtech.com. But Linda, you got this new app. I think it was an iPad app?
It's an iPad app.
And employee discipline, employee performance, what is it about?
It's an employee relations application, and what it does is it's called the progressive discipline model.
Okay.
And you can go to the App Store download it.
Sure.
There are a number of different kind of features to it, but the reason we developed it was based on a lot of our interaction with managers. So we see this as really focused on the supervisor, the first line supervisor, the average middle manager out there that's dealing with the workforce directly that has an issue of some kind. And what it does is it allows that manager a way to kind of privately build a scenario and look at it and see if they are following the rules correctly, if they're having the right conversations, if they're doing the right thing from a documentation standpoint. It actually, it's very cool. It just works with, you just touch a slider bar and answer some questions. And then what it builds out graphically is a set of, it almost looks like an equalizer bar chart
kind
of thing.
Yeah.
And the more urgent it is for you to act, the redder it gets.
Okay.
And the more you are going to have to do, the level of effort around it, the more it expands out. So it's got some cool graphics associated with it. It does everything for you. It just walks you through the entire analysis. And this is exactly what would happen if you were a supervisor and you walked into your HR office. This would be the little the little interrogation that would happen once you walked into HR. And what we did was we wanted it to be accessible to hiring managers and line managers. so that they could just do this themselves privately and try to figure out how much trouble they're in. There's even a segment that we built out just on how you feel about whether you would be supported by your agency management or not.
Okay.
And
that may impact on how far you go with this thing.
How far you go, and also your willingness even to go take the first step in a lot of cases. And then there are very cool model letters. So if you want to do a letter of reprimand, the big one is on sick leave usage, misuse of sick leave. If you want letters on suspension, warnings, all these other things.
So it's giving you the tools.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of times, have you found, I mean, you were in OPM and you've worked in, and you've dealt with government for a long, long time.
Yes, I have.
And you've dealt with a lot of hiring managers. And I guess where this app probably came from, because you're hearing from hiring managers. Yeah. You know, in HR, you always talk about the consequences of a bad hire.
Right.
You know, and this is what kind of deals with that, kind of the consequences of a bad hire, and then how do you deal with that person and then go from there. Is that right?
It does that, and it also gives you information in a non-judgmental form. Right? So no one's sitting
there
going,
take the emotions out of it.
Exactly. Okay. And it's not you're a bad supervisor, that's why you have bad employees.
Right.
Or you don't understand the mystical magical thing we do here in HR. So what we're trying to do is demystify it, make it highly objective, give you a shot at understanding all of the parameters around which you're going to have to work, and a path forward. So there's recommendations, there's summaries, there's a table of offenses and penalties, which is the government term for, if this happened, this would likely be what you would do, some of what we offer there is just universal best practice as opposed to specific to an agency or a union agreement. But yeah, I am very excited about it. We also have a Facebook page on that as well that will lead you to it. But it basically is a great way for the average manager to privately be able to say, do I want to take this on?
Right.
If I do, what might happen? And if I were to do that, how much work would it be? And what would I need as a tool set to help me out?
Right. Do you find that the reason and you know why some of the hiring or you know managers in government don't take on a lot of problems in terms of bad performing workers is because of what you just described, that the hurdles seem to be so high in order to deal with them, and also they don't necessarily feel like they have either support from management or support from the HR office or the employee relations office or whatever. I mean, do you find that?
Right.
It just seems to be a very confusing and daunting process. I've heard a number of hiring of HR of managers, I should say, just say, well, listen, I just send that person to the wild. You know, I just I don't deal with them.
Yeah.
I just put them over here somewhere. And, you know, but that is not the right way to handle people.
No, it isn't. And it is wrong for the process to be made more mysterious than it needs to be. I think when I've actually been called in on a couple of consulting types of assignments to actually help managers go through this. And when you see the torture that's involved in doing this, it's really, you know, it's a process that can be very tedious. Yeah. And people want to know.
And it takes away from your workflow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you've got issues like, how did you maintain your documentation? Was it maintained according to the Privacy Act? Was it maintained according to, you know, other principles that we have? So what in essence I think happened was, in the last 20 years or so, fewer and fewer really good employee relations specialists exist in the federal government anymore, and more of them are centralized or remote from the hiring manager.
Right.
So if you're sitting at one of my great employee relations case studies is Puget Sound Naval Shipyard in Bremerton, Washington.
Yeah.
You know, you have 8,000 employees. You've got, you know, 8-9 layers of management, civilian and military. You've got people who are temporary foremen a lot because that's how they test out to see whether you should be made foreman. You've got a lot of unionization, so you have a lot of rules around that. And you just find that people struggle, you know, and it is easier for a lot of people, you know. That's how some people get glowing references.
Right.
Let's just move them on.
Move them on.
Yeah.
Move them to
get
the next
them out
place.
Of here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you hear a lot of tech, and I think HR people have defaulted to, you didn't make your documentation, correctly. So there's a technical administrative error that catches you. A really good employee relations specialist gets you through that. Not a problem. But someone who's not as experienced or as skilled at it will tend to default to an administrative procedure. And that seems like such a trivial thing.
So
it's that kind of thing that we're trying to overcome with this.
And they can find the app on the App Store. Yep. What would they find it under?
It's under AVU Progressive Discipline Model.
Okay, so AVU Progressive Discipline Model. You can find it on the App Store. Download it for your iPad, iPhone, or whatever.
It's your iPad. It's only iPad.
iPad.
Yeah.
If you got an iPad,
you need the screen real.
You got to use the screen. Okay, you got to use a big screen.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Yeah. But if you got an iPad, you can download it. You can use this thing, and then help in terms of the employee discipline. Progress and hopefully get an employee back on track. But if they're not getting on track, find the ways in which you can deal with that employee and then bring in a good employee after you get rid of them.
Exactly.
We've been talking to AVU Central's co-CEO. I mean, AVU Technology, I should say, co-CEO, and she's in charge of AVU Central as well. But AVU Technology's co-CEO, Linda Ricks, always one of our favorite guests. Linda, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you.
They've got a number of different sites. Check them out. AVUtech.com, AVUcentral.com, WildfireX.com. There's a number of different things. They're working on some veteran issues right now with American Legion and everywhere else. Great company. Go ahead and check out what they're doing. Thank you, Linda, as always.
Thank you, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.